What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment at orthosensi.com. That's orthosensi.com. As always, I am your host, Double T Travis there. Appreciate you joining me for this Monday, November 7th edition of Crunch Time. And no guest on the show this evening per se. We will have a conversation with head coach Ryan Kaniga from the postgame coverage of our sectional championship game this past Friday, Lawrenceburg defeating Batesville 33-7. So you will hear those comments from Coach K to help along with our program this evening. We do have some great upcoming guests on Crunch Time. Next Monday, South Dearborn's boys soccer team will return to celebrate their sectional championship from earlier on this season. That was a promise made to them. If they won, they could come back and celebrate that. So we'll do that for at least half of the show next Monday, leading into our holiday stocking stuffer on-air auction, which starts next Monday, immediately following Crunch Time. Monday, November 21st, we'll keep with the South Dearborn theme as the girls basketball team going to come through with Coach Gibbs. And then Monday, December 5th, we have the East Central girls basketball team. Coach Kevin Moore and some of his star players will be in studio, still working to get the Lawrenceburg girls basketball team in studio as well. And then we'll get to some of the boys teams once we wind down football season, get through the girls basketball team, and then we'll move into some boys basketball stuff, I am sure, in the month of December. But tonight's show, we're going to be focusing on high school football as we have two area teams moving on to the regional round this coming weekend. We also have girls basketball that we're going to get to, and that's going to be the show for this evening. But plenty of good stuff here on at Crunch Time, as always. And we're going to start with our high school football sectional recap and the Class 3A Sectional 31 championship game that we covered for you on Friday at the Pit. Lawrenceburg, as I mentioned, winning over Batesville 33-7. It was the fourth consecutive sectional championship for the Tigers and their 22nd overall in program history. But the four consecutive sectional championships, I want to focus on that for just a moment, because this is the first time that has ever happened in program history for Lawrenceburg, which is a little hard to believe because they've had a really great program for a long, long time. So to go back into the 70s with the state championship team, the 85 state runner-up team, you had the 2017 state runner-up, so there's been some classes that have come through Lawrenceburg that have been very, very strong, but none able to win four sectional championships in a row until this senior class that has not experienced a loss in the sectional round. We're going to have more on that with Coach K coming up here in just a bit. But if you go back through Lawrenceburg's history with the sectional championships, 75 was their first, 76, 78, 79, so that was a really good stretch, but they missed out on the title in 77. Then you had 84, 85, 86. Didn't win it in 87 and then turned around and won it in 88. So there have been some instances where they've been very, very close to winning four in a row, but that coming to fruition this past Friday against Batesville. And what can you say? Another great performance from the Tigers defense. They only allowed 171 yards of total offense. Much of that yardage came from running back Gage Pullman, who had a great game, 166 yards rushing. Outside of that, Tigers did a great job against sophomore quarterback Will Geisel, who is going to be a very, very good player. He's already a very, very good player. Had an exceptional sophomore year, but a couple more seasons to go there at Batesville. He's going to be one to watch over the next couple years, but they held him down 3 for 5 passing, 35 yards and a touchdown. And they ended up a very solid trio of wide receivers. Bryson Benelli was All-State as a junior. Cade Kaiser, similar size. Both those young men, 6'3", very athletic, can beat you down the field. And then Damian Dance, who Coach Ullery admitted has been kind of the spark plug to the Batesville offense on the second half of the season. Those three only combined for 4 receptions and 39 yards, Kaiser scoring a touchdown in the game. So Lawrenceburg defense doing an exceptional job against a team that has a lot of firepower, on offense. But I do want to mention that Will Geisel, the quarterback, Bryson Benelli, and then defensive lineman Nick McConnell, 3 very, very key parts to the Batesville team, were injured during the game. Certainly hope all those young men are okay. We did see them moving around on the sideline in the second half, so it looks like nothing too serious for those three, but it was certainly not a good sign to see those three come out of the game for Batesville, knowing that they play such a big part. Had they stayed in, I don't think the outcome of the game changes much. Maybe more points on the board perhaps for Batesville, but again, it was tough seeing those three get knocked out of the game. All three very, very good players. Looking at Lawrenceburg offensively, another strong game running the ball. Not as strong as the previous three, as they had gone over 300 yards rushing in three straight games. They fall short of that this time around, but 237 yards on the ground. That is still very, very good. Tegan Bennett carrying the load. 25 rushes for 207 and a touchdown. He did have a three-yard touchdown run that came off of a 90-yard run. Looked like it was going to be a 93-yard touchdown run, but the side judge from about 50 yards behind the play called Tegan out at the three-yard line. He was able to cap off that drive with the three-yard touchdown score, but had a fantastic night toting the ball for the Tigers. Alex Woody, who has been a big factor in the run game, didn't factor into it too much in this game. Only eight carries. He did score two times. When the Tigers get in the red zone, they're not afraid to go to that wildcat package with Woody taking the direct snap, and he has been excellent in that formation in short yard situations and, of course, goal line to go situations, scoring touchdowns. So he did his part with the two touchdowns, also forced a turnover on defense as well. We'll say this, the Tigers have not passed the ball a whole lot here in recent memory. Logan Ahouse had only passed the ball, I think, six or seven times in the first two sectional games. He goes 7 of 10 in this championship game for 135 yards and two touchdowns. Both TD strikes went to Brennan Bushman, who totaled 82 yards. But Logan Ahouse was throwing dimes in this game. And if the Tigers do go to the passing attack 10 to 12 times a game, and Logan's able to remain very efficient like he has been throughout the year, completing 60-70% of his passes, that's going to go a long way to help them continue on with this potential state championship run. But I thought Logan Ahouse was absolutely phenomenal in this game. I also thought Batesville fought tremendously hard in this game throughout the entire game, kept it close in the first half. Into the second quarter, the Tigers were able to break the game open a bit before half, taking a 26-7 lead into the locker room. There was an instance where a punt for Batesville was actually, the ball struck one of the blockers and went backwards about 30 yards, so the Tigers got the ball on their Batesville 6-yard line or whatever. It's just one of those crazy instances where the Tigers were going to get the ball back, but they didn't think they were going to get the ball back with such great field position. We're able to capitalize on that sort of stuff to take that bigger lead into the locker room, and then basically ran out the clock in the second half. But like I mentioned, in case you missed it, we did catch up with Ryan Kaniga during our postgame coverage on Friday. Here is my interview with Coach K, his thoughts on his team winning a fourth consecutive sectional championship.
This never gets old. And so thankful to be the head coach of Lawrenceburg High School and work with our kids in our school. And I go back to the beginning of the year when we didn't really have a clue or what we knew or what we expected or what this team would be. And all they did every day was come to work. They did what we asked, and they just found a way to win games. And our senior class, what can you say? They never lost a sectional game.
Unbelievable.
And, wow, just an exciting night. Happy for our guys. Happy for our coaches. A lot goes into this. It's not just show up and play. It's not Pee Wee football. And proud of our guys, man. Just unbelievable effort.
And you kind of alluded to it there. You weren't exactly sure what you would have with this team. You graduated such a fantastic senior class. It's my job, guys like me in the media, to say, hey, they had this great class. What's going to happen next for Lawrenceburg? Oh, yeah. And you go 11-1 again, and you have another sectional championship. That's got to say something about the coaching staff and the way you guys are able to prepare these kids and get them ready each and every season.
And you're right. And, the thing that people don't really see is this team practiced against that team every day last year. Some of them played. And we still got guys that played a lot of quarters last year. And, it's unbelievable. The work ethic that they've put in, and how we've just continued to get better every day, and you watch our offense get better every game, and then you watch the defense just keep pitching shutouts and getting stops, and just really proud of our guys. And, you know, I think it says something, too, as you talked about with our staff. I mean, most of these guys have been together with me now going on 12 seasons, I guess, and really thankful for those guys. They put in a lot of work, a lot of time away from their family. But at the end of the day, all the credit has to go to those young men out there in those orange jerseys, because we just call plays. They got to execute them. And, man, great night to be a Tiger.
I'll tell you what, at one point in the first half, it was close. Batesville was throwing some punches at you and was hanging in there. Was this a little bit more of a dogfight than maybe expected? Or what can you say of your opponent here this evening?
Well, Coach Hillary does a great job, first off. And when you watch his teams, they just get better every year. And the thing that's a little unique, sometimes coaches get stuck in their way, and this is what we do, and we're not changing anything. Coach always finds something to work for his guys.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, they were in an odd front the last couple games, and all of a sudden they're coming out. Credit to our running game. They got to get into an even and load the box a little more. But, you know, I hope the Will Geisel kid's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is a dude. Unbelievable football player, baseball player, athlete. And, you know, I'm sure that took a lot out of their cell going into halftime. But, no, we knew. We always talked to the kids, you beat Greensburg 55-0.
Yeah.
Not going to be that easy. We go back up and it's 28-0.
Yeah.
So then you come home and you're like, all right, we got Batesville. And, yeah, you beat them 37-0. It's not going to be that way. I will say this. Batesville is very physical. They get after it. They're well coached. And there's a reason why they're in this game. I mean, their last six games or whatever, they're 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
And we're their two losses.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that would like to be where they're at tonight. But their staff does a great job. We have a lot of respect for their program. And we'll move on to next week and think about the Raiders now.
Yep. I just got two more things for you, and then we'll let you get down there and celebrate with your team. I'm not asking you to pick any favorites here, but can you help us with the star of the game tonight? We're looking at Alex Whitty and the things that he did. Keegan Bennett ran the ball really well. Logan Ahouse was phenomenal throwing the football. Sam Cornett stood out to me. We need a little help. Should we just give it to all four of those guys and some more, maybe?
I tell you what, when you win a sectional championship, you just give it to the whole damn team.
There you go.
Tigers.
The stars of the game.
And, you know, as you said, you got a lot that you can name. And sometimes people do some things that don't really get noticed. You got our corners out there covering, running with these guys all night. You got our O-line, and Colton gets banged up with a little hamstring. We're trying to milk him in and out of quarters. There's no doubt the star of the game tonight are the Lawrenceburg Tigers, all 70 or how many we ever have out there, because at the end of the day, end of the night, in order to win a championship, you got to have a great team and you got to have great players. And we're fortunate enough to have both here.
I like it. You've helped us out tremendously with that. And then finally, you alluded to it. Southridge looks like they are on their way to victory, 42-14 in the fourth quarter over Heritage Hills. It'll be a rematch of sorts. They came down here in 2020
mm-hmm.
and was able to knock you guys off. And
yep.
Now it looks like maybe a chance to return the favor going down to their home field next weekend.
Yeah, I talked to Coach Buning this week. He's actually in the same role I am, AD and Coach. And we go way back, him and I and Coach Manfred, Coach Barnes, had a great relationship when we were all at East Central together. And nothing but a lot of respect for him, as, you know, he just gets it done year in and year out down there at Southridge. And as we talked, he goes, well, you want film or you just want to watch everything I sent you the last time? Because we haven't changed. And he hasn't. He hasn't changed. But a lot of respect for that. And some people may know Coach Hanner, who was a longtime Lawrenceburg coach, went down and really got that program rolling there for a while. But you know what? We're going to enjoy this tonight and tomorrow.
Good.
We have a 48-hour rule. We don't have a 24-hour rule.
I like it.
Lawrenceburg.
I like it.
And we'll get together on Sunday night and find out a plan to hopefully go down to Huntington Bird, which is about 3 hours away, and see what happens when we get there.
So as Coach and I alluded to in that interview, we knew Southridge was going to be the team that they were going to play. They were up big at the time of that interview and obviously capped off that big lead with a win to move on to the regional round. So it is on to Southridge for the Tigers. It's going to be a 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time kickoff on Saturday. And after doing a little research, and I mean very, very little, this was not strenuous in any fashion, I found out that Huntingburg – Indiana, the home of Southridge High School, is actually in the Eastern time zone, so no time difference for Tigers fans traveling to the game on Saturday. But for those unable to attend, Eagle Country 99.3 will bring you the call, and it will be the number 5 Lawrenceburg Tigers at number 9 Southridge. That is looking at the coaches' poll. And the last time these two met, you don't have to go too far back in time. It was the 2020 regional at Lawrenceburg. Southridge came up here and won the game 49-28. But it's 2 years later, two different teams, and it's time to know the opponent. What is Southridge all about? That's what Tigers fans are wondering this week leading up to the regional game. They are 11-1, just like Lawrenceburg. Their only loss back on September 16th to the defending 3A state champs Gibson Southern. That was a 14-24 loss for Southridge. Gibson Southern has been knocked out of the 3A tournament this time around by Owen Valley, who was on the same side of the bracket as Southridge and Lawrenceburg, but still a really good team that they went up against on September 16th and lost. Since then, they've won 7 in a row, including a 42-14 win over Heritage Hills in the Sectional 32 championship on Friday. And I got to comparing the schedules of Southridge and Lawrenceburg, wanting to know kind of the strength of schedule, the quality of opponents that these two teams have played, because we don't get to see Southridge a whole bunch. So that's one way that we can compare these teams and see how competitive this game might be on Saturday. And I am expecting it to be very, very competitive. But Southridge has 3 wins against teams rated in the top 100 in terms of the Sagarin. They have a win over Boonville, who's 92nd in the state, just knocked out of the 4A state tournament in the sectional championship against Evansville Memorial on Friday. We'll have more on that in a second, because East Central is going to play Evansville Memorial. More than a second. It'll be a little bit later on in the show. And then Southridge has 2 wins against Heritage Hills, who ranks 96th in the Sagarin. For comparison, Lawrenceburg doesn't have any wins against top 100 teams, but they do have 2 wins, against South Dearborn, who ranks 112 in the Sagarin. So 2 quality wins for the Tigers in back-to-back weeks against their Dearborn County rival. Further comparison of the two schedules, however, Lawrenceburg played only 1 game against the team rated over 200 in the Sagarin. That was Rushville at 241. And Southridge has played 5 teams rated over 200. So Lawrenceburg's schedule a little bit tougher this season. Certainly playing East Central helped big time with the average, because EC's 13th overall in the state. But nonetheless, Lawrenceburg's schedule looking a little bit tougher than Southridge's throughout the season. And that gives Lawrenceburg an edge in the Sagarin, and an edge statistically, as they're going to be a favorite in this game on Saturday. But getting back to Southridge's sectional title game, they ran for 319 yards on 47 carries. That's almost 7 yards per carry. Senior Reed Schroeder, 28 carries, 128 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They also had Levi Newcomb tallied 5 carries for 99 yards, including a 52-yard touchdown pass. You're going to find that they get a lot of young men involved in their offense, both in the rushing and passing attack. Through the air, Hudson Allen, their quarterback, along with Levi Newcomb, who threw a touchdown on a, we'll call it trick play, combined for 6 of 9 for 185 yards and 3 touchdowns. So pretty similar numbers to what Lawrenceburg put up, where they are going to be run heavy, but can certainly make plays through the air and some explosive ones as well. Their quarterback, Hudson Allen, has thrown for nearly 1,500 yards this season, 15 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Carter Harris, their leading receiver, with 412 yards, but they have 5 others that have between 113 yards receiving and 276 yards receiving. So I don't know that you necessarily key in on one receiver. Certainly Carter Harris would be the one if you're going to, but they spread the ball out quite a bit, even get their running backs involved in the pass game as well. Mentioned Schroeder as their leading runner, over 1,000 yards, 23 touchdowns this season, and then they have 5 others that have 300 yards or more, as the Raiders have rushed for over 3,600 yards this season. So they are a run-heavy team that can also hurt you through the air. So we have seen here through this 11-game winning streak stretch for the Tigers, they have played a lot of teams that I would say are a little bit more one-dimensional, and they have been able to handle that with ease. I'm not comparing Southridge to East Central by any stretch of the imagination, but East Central is a team that comes at you with a balanced attack that can hurt you with the run game and the passing game. Southridge looks like a team that can do that as well. So I do think this will be perhaps the biggest test of the year for the Tigers so far, taking out that East Central game at the beginning of the season. If you want to look a little bit further at Southridge, they do have a top 10 offense in Class 3A, scoring 39 points per game. Their defense ranks fifth best in 3A at 10.5 points allowed per game. Of course, Lawrenceburg matching up with those numbers. They have the state's top scoring defense at 5.9 points per game and an offense that is averaging 35 points per game. So both teams, as you might imagine, are very accustomed to defeating their opponents by a lot of points. They're averaging 28-29 point margin of victory against their opponents this season. So going to be very interesting to see how this game plays out, should it be a close game, and how that will affect the young men on the field who haven't been in scenarios where they've been in close games a whole lot this season. But the winner, of course, can advance on to the semi-state to play either Owen Valley or Monrovia. Owen Valley is the host and the heavy favorite. Should Lawrenceburg win the regional, they would be at home no matter what in the semi-state, hosting either Monrovia or Owen Valley. And the John Harrell prediction, which I love to look at, it's always fun to think about and see how close it ends up being at the end of the game. Lawrenceburg 31, Southridge 21, that is the prediction from the John Harrell site. And looking at the tournament chances overall for the final eight, this is the chances of winning each round based on ratings, draw, and home field advantage. For Lawrenceburg, they have a 71% chance of winning the regional round. Southridge, that means 29% is their chance of winning, even being at home. If you advance further on, Lawrenceburg has a 56% chance of winning the semi-state, and then a 24% chance of winning state, which is the third best odds left of the eight teams in the bracket. And Indianapolis, Chittard, and West Lafayette, the two teams that have higher averages or chance to win the state championship, they're on the same side of the bracket, so only one of those teams can advance. So looks like it's Lawrenceburg's side of the bracket to lose, as these statistics are lining up with them having the best chance to get to the state championship. I do believe this Southridge game is going to be the toughest game that stands in their way of getting to the semi-state, but again, they have to play these games for a reason. These teams are in the final eight for a reason, so that's not to say that Southridge, Owen Valley, or even Monrovia can't or won't win. I'm just simply sharing the statistics that I saw from the Harrell site. And if you're a Tigers fan, it should excite you, because these statistics are saying they're a very, very strong team and have a great shot of beating these teams that are still in their way. And then if you get to the state championship, anything can happen. But there are eight very, very good teams still left in 3A. And at this point, it does look like it's a little bit of anybody's ball game, certainly on this southern side of the bracket, to get to Lucas Oil Stadium on Thanksgiving Saturday. So we will be there for the call on Saturday from Southridge High School. Again, 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. As I mentioned, I Googled it. Doesn't look like there is a time difference with Southridge. They are kind of close to that line, but it's going to be no time difference for anybody traveling to the game. 5 o'clock kickoff, we will hit the air with our pregame coverage at 4:40 for anybody that's staying back or is going to be elsewhere this weekend and still wants to tune into the game. You'll be able to hear it on Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com. So we're glad to be there. Myself and Bill Smith will bring you the call. Should be a good one from Southridge High School. You are listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home, OrthoSensi.com. Also want to say congratulations to East Central for capturing their 21st sectional title in program history and their second in a row, defeating Martinsville 47-0. On Friday, EC wasted no time in this game, scored 27 points in the first quarter, added 20 in the second, and, well, that was all she wrote for the 47-0 win. Josh Ringer has been fantastic this season. He is going to be an all-state running back, at least from my perspective, he should be. 208 yards, 5 touchdowns on 18 carries. Cole Burton, very efficient at the quarterback spot, 5-6 for 104 yards and a touchdown, and Ryan Brotherton got it done on the ground and through the air, 86 yards rushing, 84 yards receiving, scored twice as well, and hurdled a young man in that game. You can see that video circulating on Twitter. But next up for East Central, This is likely the team they wanted to see in the regional because they have unfinished business with Evansville Memorial. They're now 9-3, but sectional champs, and it's going to be a rematch of last year's regional round. Memorial won that game 17-14. Trojans get a chance to avenge that loss and will be a heavy favorite in trying to do so this time around. East Central, the third best team in 4A, according to the Sagarin. Memorial ranks 14th. Memorial likes to run the ball. They like to actually pass the ball. They're going to run it plenty as well, but 2,100 passing yards this season compared to close to 1,700 rushing yards. So they are fairly balanced, but lean a little bit more towards the pass. Also have a pretty good defense, allowing just over 15 points per game. As for East Central, they rank as the top scoring defense in 4A at close to 9 points per game, and they're third in scoring at nearly 40 points per game. But looking at the Harrell side, it is a predicted 38-10 win for East Central. Again, I don't know that you can always go by that. It's fun to look at. It kind of shows that there's a little bit of a discrepancy between these teams as it pertains to strength of schedule and how they've performed throughout the year. East Central, this is a team that has a lot of firepower on offense, and their defense is fast. They fly around, and they're very good against the pass as well. So this should be a very intriguing matchup, but East Central with a chip on their shoulder, going down to Evansville again, knowing that they lost late to this team last year in the regional. They are going to have a point to prove, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this one shakes out. It will be a 6:30 Central time start, and this game is going to be played on Friday. I'm a little surprised at that, but that's what where we're at. East Central going to travel to Evansville on Friday, and should they win, they will be at home if they play Ron Colley on the road if it is New Pal in the semi-state. And they did play Ron Colley earlier in the season. It was a tight ball game. Ron Colley wins the game in St. Leon, but New Pal is the stronger team in that particular matchup. They, along with actually, East Central have the two best odds of winning the state championship, according to these tournament chances based off the Harrell site. New Pal has a 42.4% chance of winning state, while East Central has a 32.4% of winning state. So if New Pal gets past Ron Colley, East Central gets past Evansville Memorial, it's looking like whoever wins that game would likely be the favorite going into the state championship against either New Prairie, Northridge, Columbia City, or Kokomo. So again, East Central right there in the thick of things in the final eight, and they have their eyes on Lucas Oil Stadium as well. And I think it would be very, very cool if East Central played in the state championship on Black Friday and then the Lawrenceburg Tigers followed up with a state championship game on Thanksgiving Saturday. That would be fantastic. It'd be a lot of fun for the folks in this area to be able to make that trip up to Indianapolis, maybe for the entire weekend, to check out both of those games. So good luck to East Central and Lawrenceburg as they look to keep their seasons alive this weekend at the regional. Again, East Central at Evansville Memorial, 6:30 Central time on Friday. Lawrenceburg taking on Southridge on the road. That will be a 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time start on Saturday, and we will be there for the Tigers game at Southridge once again. And finally, let's wrap up the show with some girls basketball talk as the season is underway. And we'll start with the East Central Lady Trojans off to an impressive 2-0 start, 1-0 in the EIAC. Almost identical wins their first two games of the season, 63-23 over South Dearborn to get that first conference win, and then a 67-29 win over Richmond. So the offense playing well so far early in the season, averaging 65 points per game, and they're only allowing 26 points. So picking up right where they left off from their sectional championship season a year ago. Josie Trable off to a fantastic start. Three-year All-State player, going to be going to Wofford once her high school career is over. The all-time leading scorer in East Central program history. 22 points per game, 10.5 rebounds, 6 assists, and 5.5 steals per game over these first two. That is a great start to the season for Josie. Caitlin Dick, who came on very strong last season as a instant offense type player off the bench, can really shoot it and score the ball just in general. 16 points per game, 2.5 steals through two games. And then Lainey Baker, Thomas Moore commit, 13 points. rebounds, 4.5 assists, and 3.5 steals. That's kind of the big three right now for East Central. Caitlin Dick is essentially taken over the Hope Fox slot there in terms of points per game. I would say through these first two games, you have Emily Clem, Carly Davis, Addison Arnault, Anna Black, Bailey Enzinger playing key roles early on, and then we'll see what happens with Julia Thiemann, who's recovering from a knee injury. She has certainly played a big part on this team over the past couple of seasons, and will continue to do so if she can make it back from that injury. Would be a big boost to this team as well. But they have a big game coming up tomorrow against Franklin County. They're 3-0 on the season with wins over North Decatur, Rising Sun, and Madison. Shout out to Cassidy Shell, broke the Franklin County school record for points in a game with 35 against Madison last Friday. Also tied the school record for made threes with 7. You go to Saturday's game, and Kirsten Shell led the team with 16 points. And then in their first game of the year, Nicole Mears had 29. So they have some young ladies that can really score the ball. Maybe a different leading scorer on a given night, which is never a bad thing to have. Should be a fun matchup in St. Leon tomorrow. Battle of two unbeaten teams. Going to try to hit on as many teams as possible here to round out the show. Lawrenceburg yet to play a game. Will start their season tomorrow on the road at Madison. Senior Lizzie Reeder is the top returning scorer at nearly 12 points per game. Other key contributors back from last season's team, Nicole Howes, Natalie Kniga, among others. And watch out for freshman point guard Brooklyn Craig, expected to play a key role for the Tigers this season as well. They've had a phenomenal run under head coach Zane White. And again, we're going to do our best to get Coach White and some of his star players in the studio a little bit down the road to talk Lady Tigers basketball. South Dearborn 1-2 on the season. Had to start the season at home against East Central. Always a tough task. They lose that one 63-23. And then they have the South Dearborn tournament on Saturday. They play a really good New Washington team in the first round. Lost that one 58-30, but bounce back, get their first win of the season over Clarksville in the third place game. So, South Dearborn going to look to continue to build some momentum at Switzerland County on Tuesday. This is going to be a different Lady Pacers team this season. For the past few seasons, they've relied heavily on Maddie and Jesse Duvall to score the basketball for them and do a whole lot of other things. They have graduated along with forwards Nora Hankins and Hannah Hayes. So it will be year two for head coach Brooke Todd. They went 18-7 a year ago. Courtney Higgins, Hallie Archer, Elena Weaver, Gracie White among the experienced players returned this season, but it will be a little bit of a new identity for this Switzerland County team without some of those players that I just mentioned that graduated. So that should be an interesting matchup on Tuesday as South Dearborn's at Switzerland County. Also a Rivertown Classic preview, perhaps. Another one of those Rivertown Classic teams, Rising Sun, 0-1 on the season, had the 32-75 loss to Franklin County, who was just off to a fantastic start. But Rising Sun going to have a full week of preparation for South Decatur, and they do have a talented group back. A lot of experienced varsity players, Jenna Peelman, Kieran Groover, Bailey Morris, Alyssa Simpson, Nora Powell. I've seen these young ladies play, particularly at the Rivertown Classic, and they've been together for a while now, continuing to gel. And I have a feeling that the week-long preparation for South Decatur is something that is going to be of their benefit, and they're going to come out and play a strong game on Friday and look to bounce back from that loss to Franklin County. Milan 0-2 on the season. They've already played South Decatur. That was a 46-31 loss, and then they played a very good Union County team that got them 45-9. Milan will take on South Ripley on Tuesday. That will be an ORVC game, and the schedule not getting a whole lot easier for Milan because South Ripley is a pretty talented team off to a 1-1 start with a loss to Austin and a win at Hauser. Caitlin Samples, 22 points in that win against Hauser. Emily Flood, Lexi Franklin off to good starts as well. So that'll be a big ORVC game right out of the chute for Milan and South Ripley on Tuesday. So that's where we stand with some of our area girls basketball teams. Wish I had a little bit more time to talk basketball, but we will be getting to that in the coming weeks as we're getting down close to the end of things in high school football and shifting our focus to winter sports. As I mentioned, the South Dearborn Knights boys soccer team going to join me in studio next Monday to celebrate their sectional championship. We'll spend about half the show with them, and then we will get to our regional football recap, maybe talk a little girls basketball leading into the first night of our holiday stocking stuffer on on-air option. So we'll still have crunch time next week, 6 to 6:30, as always, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, OrthoCincy.com. Thank you so much for listening to Crunch Time, only on Eagle Country 99.3 and EagleCountryOnline.com.